All right. Welcome, everyone. You are in the right place. This is Eventual Millionaire, the webinar about how to step out of your comfort zone. I'm super excited to have you guys on today. And if you want and you're bored, go ahead and tweet this or Facebook it or anyone that you know that needs to hear about fear. It's a lot more than I thought, right? It's a really critical piece. So go ahead and ask them to come too. And if you haven't already, add me on Facebook. Oh, I don't have a hashtag. I need a hashtag. We could do a hashtag of feel the fear. So if you guys want to create a little Twitter group, it'll be feel the fear as your hashtag if you want. I made it up just now. Awesome. So welcome everyone. Tonight we are going to get uncomfortable. I hope that looks uncomfortable to you because it's totally uncomfortable to me. That's actually my husband. And I think I've told you before that he's a contortionist. And you know, by the end of the webinar, you guys are going to look like that too, right? I hope somebody's laughing for that, right? I hope you guys are really excited. You won't end up looking like that, hopefully, right? He's actually broken. He actually has a disease that makes him able to do that, which is kind of funny, but that's a total side note. So what I want you to know though is I'm Jamie. That's me. And if you don't already know, you probably already do, I interview millionaires every single week. And now that I've interviewed over 50 millionaires, I really have a wealth of knowledge in how they think about certain things. And that's one of the reasons why I started doing webinars, just because out of all those interviews, there is so much information, it's sort of hard to distill. And we don't need to listen to everything, right? We don't need to hear about everything when we don't necessarily need everything in our business right now. Just clutters everything up. So what we do need to hear about, though, is what we need to do right now to move forward in our business. And that's why I asked you. So I sent out a survey to everybody I could. I got a ton of really, really great responses. And I asked, what do you need right now? So I listed about 6 different things, right? It could be sales, increasing revenue via learning more sales techniques or marketing and all that fun stuff. The funny thing is, though, a fear was the number one problem, right? By far. So apparently it was sort of a big deal, right? I want to be able to help you with that tonight. So just so you guys know too, I love definitions. So I found the definition of fear, and what it is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous and likely to cause a pain or threat. Do you guys look like this when you have fear? And I also want to say that tonight is really, really important, okay? In exchange for delivering some really awesome content, I want you to promise me to give me your attention, right? And I know, and the reason why I say that is because I know I'm part of webinars too, right? I go to webinars quite often, and I'll try and work and get something done at the same time. And then I go back and can't remember really anything. I even last night, I think actually it was the night before last, I paid for a webinar. I paid for it. And I was working while I was listening to it. And my husband asked me later, did you get anything out of it? And I was trying to remember, you know, 1 or 2 pieces of information. And that's ridiculous. So don't do that, guys. If you're here, really put the time in and watch and listen and really let it sink in. You know, I don't want you to hear just bits and pieces. I want you to be able to take away something big. And to show you how important that is, I'm going to relay an email I just got today. I asked Christine if I could put this out there because this is amazing. So I'm going to read it exactly as she wrote it. She said, as a result of the webinar, because she was in a webinar that I did last time, right? As a result of that webinar, I decided to go after speaking engagements and doing workshops full force because apparently she had done them before but stopped doing them. A few weeks ago, I did an engagement called Craft Talk, and this engagement led to my getting an offer to be the keynote speaker at a commencement ceremony next month. The financial payoff to stepping out of my comfort zone and no longer allowing insecurity and fear to stop me from putting myself out there has been huge. In 2 months, I will make $12,500. Last year, as a whole, I made $13,000. All I can say is thank you for helping me to hope again. I can't wait for tonight's webinar. That gives me chills just reading it. It gave me chills when I read it the first time. She's awesome. I'm so glad she's on the line too. And I want to make sure you guys are really paying attention to this. So at the very end, I want you to stick around. There's a special bonus for everyone who stays through too, like I normally do for my webinars. There'll be that too. So this is all about feel the fear and do it anyway. And by the end of this, I want you to know that fear is a good thing. Okay? I know that sounds weird, and I'm sure you've heard that we should only need fear to invoke the flight or flight response. You know, it's only about when you're confronted with a tiger. Not whether a business decision is a good one, right? That's what we hear, right? It's all about that. We tend to think that successful people or millionaires are fearless. Like they don't ever have fear. It doesn't even come up. That they can jump sort of in the tiger's ring, you know, be in the cage with it and not be afraid. And that's not really true. Okay. True masters of fear use their fear. They use it for their own benefit. And there was actually a great quote. And this is actually funny because I think you guys probably already know that I'm a brown belt in karate. And without her knowing, my sosai, which is kind of like a sensei, at my dojo sent me an email, and this is what it said. It said, "I now know that a black belt cherishes fear and all that it empowers. They have unlocked the superhuman strengths that all possess but few have realized. They have learned the importance of sharing and combining their strengths with others to unlock their full potential. A black belt is not fearless. A black belt harnesses the power of fear to break through barriers, mental and physical, to persevere when others would succumb to the fear, and to help others harness the fear as well. Becoming a black belt is not a physical challenge. It's a journey to an even more awakening of one's abilities, characteristics, strengths, weaknesses, and purpose. The black belt that we wear is a symbol of our desire to persevere when it would be easier to quit, to stand for what is right and just with peace as our goal, to seek balance in our lives and guide others to find it as well. A black belt does not have superhuman strength. They have simply unlocked the secrets to humans' super strengths." Okay, I want you to really let that sink in. And I want to start the journey to humans' super strengths for you to unlock what you already have. Okay, so at the very end, I want the commitment for you to take actionable and measurable steps. I want you to commit to stepping out of your comfort zone each day, right? There's a great quote by Brian Tracy that says, "I found that luck is quite predictable. If you want more luck, take more chances, be more active, and show up more often," right? So it's all about showing up, just getting past that fear and showing up. So either, you know, write that down, put it on your desk, make it your mantra, take more chances, be more active, and show up more often. I know Frank McKinney, who's a real estate developer, I love to quote him. He has amazing quotes. He creates $50 million dream homes, right? And one of the things that he said was, realize that there's a force at work subconsciously in your mind that's tempting you to say no. That's the primary difference between my career and most others, especially in real estate. I don't let the fear that is there stop me. That's the primary difference. Okay. So now I want to tell you a wonderful story about Shanti. Okay. She's actually a recent friend of mine. She goes to karate too. And she and her husband are musicians and created a group called Aboria. And it's funny, they were actually just named as one of the best under-the-radar albums in 2011 by Rolling Stone. And they were just in the New York Times, and they've been getting like a ton of press. She has an absolute amazing voice. And when you see her sing, you can't even believe that that voice comes out of a person. Seriously, it's incredible. It kind of sounds like an angel or a bird or something that's absolutely beautiful, but not human. Not some strange creature, but, you know, it's really, really great. But what I found so amazing was that she told me the story of how she started, and it gave me chills, so I really wanted to share it with you guys tonight. She's only been singing for 6 years. You see, her mom was a musician, and Shanti said that whenever her mom would practice, she would try and sing along too, but her mom always shushed her, right? Her mom just wanted to practice, but Shanti took it as, oh, well, I can't sing, I should be quiet. So for the longest time, she was ridiculously afraid of singing, even though she really, really wanted to. She just thought she was really bad because her mom kept shushing her. So after she became a mom and with lots of coaxing from her husband who did music, she finally decided to step out of her comfort zone and try it. But the funny thing is she didn't want anyone to know. So she would use her husband's equipment when he wasn't even there, right? Because she was scared to death to sing in front of anyone else, but she did it. And she kept going. And like I said, she's been in Rolling Stone. She's going to Italy next month. It's amazing what she's up to now. But then the funny thing is I was talking to her and asked her a question, how did you overcome that fear of not being good enough when you started singing, right? And she said, perspective. She said, I think it's important to figure out exactly what you're afraid of first. Fear is a tool for survival. It's a good thing and it helps us when we learn to work with it. I don't think you ever completely overcome your fears. You just sit down and have a talk with them and you reach a compromise. I asked myself if singing in public would get me killed. And of course, the answer is no. So I built on that. Also, I had to understand that perfection only comes with time spent honing your skill. You have to put in the hours to get the experience, and there are no shortcuts. Also, there's a moment where you hopefully decide to either do it or don't do it. If this is what you want to do, jump in and slog it out. You'll probably survive. I love that. And that's where I want you to take. So get excited for tonight, right? If you're going to jump in, tonight's the night to really jump in, right? Then she told me about another story, which I think is funny. We all fear what's the worst that could happen, right? Oh my gosh, what's the worst that could happen? She experienced one of the worst moments of her career early on. She asked to play at this really large event with thousands of people, right? And she thought it was just a little festival or something like that. So she didn't think it would be that big of a deal. Turns out she was in front of hundreds and hundreds of people. So she was very nervous, walked up on stage, sat down, started to do what she usually does, right? She was excited. She finished her song and no one clapped. No one, right? If you look at that picture right now, it looks like nobody's paying attention whatsoever in the audience. That's kind of what it was like. You're standing up there, you poured your heart out, and nobody even clapped. She said she was absolutely awestruck and had no idea what to do. So of course, she just continued to play. But would you want to go back on stage after an experience like that, especially after you had just gotten over, you know, not knowing whether or not to sing? Because this is one of, you know, the early on gigs. Now, I know I wouldn't. That would suck. That would be horrible. But I asked her, you know, what did you do to get past that part? And she said, I told myself that's about as bad as it gets. I lived through it. So most likely something that bad won't happen again. Right? That's a great attitude to have. So even when it goes bad, even when it goes south, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in the long run because you can see her amazing journey and where she is now. Okay. I actually recently saw a really cool documentary. And it was about how brains handle fear. And I thought it was really interesting. They say that our amygdala, which is sort of in the middle of our brain, right? Characterized by that orange little wheel. It's pretty much just a group of nuclei, right? And what it does is it deals with our emotions, okay, and fear. Our prefrontal cortex, which is right behind your forehead, deals with all the planning and the decision making. But the funny thing is that they don't talk very well to each other. You can learn logically that it doesn't make sense to fear because of all of these logical reasons, and yet we still have the fear. It's just like someone who's afraid to fly. They know millions of people fly. They know rarely anything bad happens, but they can't get their amygdala to go along with it. Okay? So if you need to run from a tiger, you'd see a tiger, right? Your brain would automatically think it's a true threat. But now, what if it's not a tiger, and it's a cat, and your brain doesn't recognize the fact that it's not a true threat. It's not a life or death threat, right? I guess the good news is, so says scientists, that we're currently evolving right now, and those parts of our brain are starting to link up. It's just a very, very slow process. So I think I'd like to say that's probably why you're here, right? To try and bypass that link better than it is now. To try and make a shortcut between those two pieces of your brain so you can move forward anyway, even though you feel the fear. So what do you guys think of that? Do you think that's cool? Because what we're going to do now is move on to what millionaires think about fear, right? And I thought, like I said before, millionaires were superhuman, right? They are totally awesome, do everything right, know how to make the right decisions, all that fun stuff. I always felt like they figured out something that I haven't yet or that other people haven't, okay? Or they had abilities or skills to be better than we are, but it's not the case at all. Like, I don't believe that at all anymore. Millionaires are in my mastermind group. I talk to them often. I have mentors. They're just people, okay? They weren't born with the skills, right? Most of the skills that they have right now are completely teachable. One of the things they have, which I say over and over and over again, is that they have an immense desire to learn. Okay. And I'm really glad you guys are here because that sort of shows you that you have an immense desire to learn too. Okay. So that begs the question, what do millionaires think about fear? So this is Amy Applebaum. I interviewed her and she sort of said, when you start to kind of move past and decide that fear is part of the process, and I know everyone is in fear. I mean, I'm in fear all the time because I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. Every step of the way is building of any business. I mean, it was first doing her vending business, which is hard. She started that when she was really young. She said, I was so scared. I didn't know anything about administration, marketing. I knew sales, but I didn't know how to start a business. I didn't know what entity formation meant. I didn't even know where to start. That basic stuff now seems easy, but back then it was a freaking nightmare. Right? So wherever you are now, know that you're going to be better in the future. But right now, you just have to deal with the fear. Okay? This is Chris Gravagna. You guys are really going to want to stay tuned because on Monday, I have a new interview with him. I interviewed him last year. I've kept in touch with him. He's actually been a mentor of mine who has been amazingly helpful in what I'm doing too, and so genuinely nice. So I interviewed him again on video, which I'm really excited. I never actually had been able to speak to him face to face before. So it was really cool to actually talk to him. And I asked him specifically about fear. And he said, well, and let me tell you, he owns 6 businesses, something like that. He's a serial entrepreneur. He just started a new company in August called Wines by Wives. And he's able to like call, I think he text messaged one of the Real Housewives of Orange County and was able to start a business with her like in an instant, which was kind of crazy. But you can listen to the interview on all that. But he's got quite a few companies. And he said, I really think you need to channel your fear. Don't make it to where you're constantly second guessing yourself. Make it so that it allows you to take the protocol steps in driving to make sure that it's a great idea. Okay. Fear should allow you to do your due diligence. It should allow you to do the proper research. It should allow you to think twice before a decision and not second guess that decision 10 to 15 times because that consumes a lot of time. You know, I'm doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm doing it. I'm not doing it. It's also really important to have a good ratio of risk to fear. And I feel that having a little bit of a higher tolerance of risk combined with fear makes for a good entrepreneur. And you have a little bit more of a risk factor than a fear factor. That way you take that leap of faith that it's a good idea. Okay. And hopefully that fear allows you to do the due diligence, which allows you to make an educated risk. Chris is awesome. Like I said, stay tuned for that. So now we're going to get into the meat and potatoes, I guess you could say, right? So now we're going to talk about what do? Right? Now we know what millionaires think about it. What do? Because that's why you're here. Okay? So how do we step out of your comfort zone every day? So we're going to go through 4 steps. And those 4 steps will be the things that you want to bring up every day. And then after that, we're going to do tools and tips and tricks and all that fun stuff to get past the fear. Like once it comes up, once you figured out this way of getting out of your comfort zone, fear's going to come up. And once that fear comes up, we've got some tactics and tricks to try and deal with that. Now, changing your mindset is not all about tactics and tricks. I just sort of want to say that. I'm more of a person that likes long-term change, not like the coolest new tactic. But I think these are going to be really helpful to bring up when you're feeling that fear. Okay, so the first step is to recognize the fear. Right? So goal number 1 of your new plan about getting uncomfortable every day, recognize the fear. Number 2 is harness that fear. Number 3 is step out with active actions. Number 4 is assess and grow your comfort zone. Okay, so let's step into those. So step 1 is recognizing the fear, right? We tend to avoid things that we don't like, right? Procrastination, whatever it is. If every time you think of public speaking or deciding on a business decision and you start to feel anxiety or what if or that queasy stomach, then you're starting to deal with fear, right? And lucky us, because we like to run away from fear, whether it be the tiger or the thought you are thinking, it's easier to run away than it is to confront it and say, hey, give me more of that. That's fun. Because it's not fun. Nobody thinks it's fun. Okay. Okay, we need to know, though, that it's there, and we need to give it a name, And the reason why is because then it can start to get smaller. You can sort of have that idea in your head, like, okay, that's just the fear. That's not me. Those thoughts are not necessarily true. That's the fear talking, right? Not, I don't like public speaking, but maybe I'm afraid of public speaking, which is why I say that I don't like public speaking, right? It's really about being honest with yourself, recognizing that it's there, and then being honest. So this is Brenton Hayden. He actually filled out my survey that I did the other day. I had a couple millionaires fill out the survey, which I thought was really funny. I ended up chatting with him just a little bit too. He's the founder of Renter's Warehouse. Amazing guy. Did an Inc. speaking tour, all that fun stuff. And he said, you've got to know what you want before you go and try and get what you want. Sometimes you have to step out of your comfort zone. I didn't know much about SEO when I first started getting into it, and I was getting taken advantage of by other SEO people. So I became a student. And SEO is search engine optimization. It's just a tactic for online marketing. And he said, now I know how to talk to them and when I want and how I can track it. So I have a system that works for me. And the reason why I bring up that quote, why that's important to you, is because sometimes you might not even know it. Like, he started to realize he was getting taken advantage of. So he was like, okay, I really need to step out of my comfort zone and do this. This is important for me to know. So there's going to be these little pieces that you're going to start to look for on where the fear is and where that comfort zone is, right? Because we need to know where that comfort zone is before you can step over it. Okay, there's another great quote. This is Jim Bellisera. One of his favorite pieces of advice is this: when fear knocks, answer the door. No matter who you think you are, you can become better. And if you want something, you get better and go after it. It really boils down to you need to look in the mirror and say, I'm the only thing that's holding me back. It's the guy in the mirror that's holding me back. Not my friends, not people who say I don't have what it takes, not people who say I don't have the education. It's me. Okay, and of course, then what I did is I asked Jim, well, how do you overcome that? Because it's good to look at yourself in the mirror and go, okay, it's me. But then what do? And you know what he said? He said, just do it. He goes, you know, Nike has that saying, just do it. Quite frankly, I've always had that saying even before I knew what Nike was. The interesting thing was, even when I was afraid, I did it and I stuck in that momentum. Some people, they're afraid of those mistakes because they don't want to look bad. He goes, I look bad all the time, but I got better all the time too. I'm serious, because when I walked away from some of my meetings, I would say, why did I say that? But I was able to reflect on those things that I said and the way I responded, and those became lessons for me. Okay, so we know this stuff, right? You've heard some of this stuff before. I know you have, but it's really about ingraining it in your brain. You need to hear it over and over and over again. And then we need to start taking action, right? So we're going to talk about harnessing the fear next, and then we're going to talk about action. So harnessing the fear. One of the things that I thought was really interesting is how people talked about the benefits of fear. Even in that Black Belt Code or talking to Chris, there's a benefit, right? Just like harnessing the wind or water for electricity, we channel fear into something greater. Fear, of course, is an indicator on whether or not there might be a threat or risk. So use fear as your guidepost, right? Probably don't look at that picture, because that is probably not a very good guidepost right now. It looks like it's going to fall apart. But that's where fear is the asset. Just like Chris said, it might be your gut telling you to stop moving forward because there's potential disaster ahead. You do that check-in, then you do your due diligence. So you used it for what it is, and then ignore it if it's not true. Right. The other way that you can harness the fear, which I think is really cool. I was actually in that documentary that I was listening to. It said, use fear to get like over stuff, right? To move things faster. And one of the things was Joan Rivers, right? Do you guys still remember Joan Rivers? She said she has always had anxiety and fear, but she uses it like caffeine to get things done. Have you ever heard that? Using it as caffeine. That's such a positive spin, and that's how we should see it. The more situations you are in that are, you know, regulated fear, not paralyzing fear where you can't move, but regulated fear, the more you're stepping out of your comfort zone and the more you're going to be able to create the life you want. Just like Christine, right? Who started stepping out of her comfort zone and started seeing amazing results. You can do that too. right? Pretend fear is like your morning coffee, getting you buzzed and ready to go for action, right? It's a good thing, not a bad thing. All right, so number three, and this is sort of a demonstration of what your comfort zone is, a little nice picture for you. The bottom is your comfort zone. It's nice and comfy there, right? Cozy, comfy. Stepping out of that place means you become uncomfortable, you know? And I want to draw a distinction, and that's why this picture is here. It's good to have some level of uncomfort, right? But it's not good to go in the danger zone. And so that's what this visual is really here for. So you can see the different pieces. You step out of your comfort zone, you start to feel uncomfortable. But then there's another piece, right, that's really kind of uncomfortable where you could grow that comfort zone, right? You start to grow it. But then there's the piece on the very, very outside that's dangerous. And I don't want you to be taking those risks, okay? We do want to push the boundaries of our comfort zone, right? But the way too much risk is like jumping in with the tiger and thinking that that's a good idea, okay? We don't want to do that stuff. Okay. Frank McKinney talks about exercising the risk like a muscle. And I think I've told you guys about that before. It's something that can be strengthened. And that's what I want to show. Like your comfort zone can grow. You start to build up a tolerance and then it starts to become comfortable, right? So when I first started doing the millionaire interviews, I think I've told this story before, or started public speaking or even started doing webinars, the very first time you do it, it's nerve wracking. It's, you know, starting to get kind of heart racing a little bit faster. Especially the first millionaire interview, I was like, oh my gosh, don't look like an idiot, right? But as we go, now the millionaire interviews are just enjoyable. That's it. I don't freak out about them at all. So my comfort zone, I can see that it has grown. And so I have to continually step out of my comfort zone. My comfort zone is getting bigger, but I still have to push it. So that way I can grow even more. Okay. So just so you guys know, there's risk ahead. Right? I'm going to have you guys commit to something today, right now. Okay. So I want to help you start to make it a habit to get out of your comfort zone every day. Are you with me? You have to post in the questions box. Say yes, or if no, you can hop off the webinar right now because this is what we're going to talk about. Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes. Lots of exclamation points. Yes, yes. Sweet. Everybody's here with me. Okay, great. So pull out a piece of paper. Ooh, someone typed in Tess instead of yes. That's cute. Okay, pull out a piece of paper, whether it's, you know, paper or on your computer. To me, I like paper when I'm trying to watch something. Okay, because we're going to go and create an active actions list. Okay, I like to distinguish between actions. I call them passive actions versus active actions. Do you like that image? No, you don't have to jump on a trampoline with a briefcase. But passive actions are actions that don't really require any uncomfort, right? It's not uncomfortable at all. It's the stuff that's really easy to do, like updating something on your website if you're a tech geek like me, or checking Facebook or accounting or something that, you know, is passive. It doesn't get you out of your comfort zone. You know, some of the stuff can be important, but it's not making you grow. Okay, it's not making you push the boundaries. Active actions, on the other hand, are those things you don't really want to do, but you know they would be great for your business. That means stepping out and risking something. Either someone saying no or you looking dumb, things like cold calling, sales appointments, you know, things that you feel anxious about. Okay. So I want you to commit to creating a list, right? That's what your paper's for, that you know you need to do, but it hasn't been a top priority, whether it's because you're scared of them or you feel like you have other things going on. Grab that piece of paper and come up with at least three right now. Three things you know you should be doing. We have so much information, right? We are not starved of information at all. You know so much already. What are those things that you know you should be doing that you either haven't yet or you haven't done enough of? Okay, and I'm going to want you to write them in the questions box because I want to see what you guys have too, because maybe we have other ideas. We can share our ideas together, so maybe we don't have to sit and rack our brains forever. Okay, so go ahead and post them in the window. I want to see them, and I want you to truly commit, right? Say that I'm going to do this, at least one of them, this week. Okay. Contact a mentor I admire. Peter, if you haven't listened to all my information on mentor stuff, definitely let me know. Send my agent my current stories, going to get networking events and pushing myself to talk to more people. Yes, I can't do things on networking, but in the academy, which I'm going to talk about later, talks about networking and how to do it right. Wow, there's tons of them here. Let me go through and start seeing them all. Okay. Produce more content, book and seminar. That's really stepping out. Start sending more contact letters, move forward with a website. See, it's hard. It's moving so fast. I can't even read them all. This is great. Finish a screenplay, call, networking, looking more robustly. That's awesome. Great. Okay. I can't just read them all. There's way too much. Okay. We'll have to go through this later. So number four is assessing and growing your comfort zone, right? So we created the list and now we start to move forward and take action on that list. That's why I want you to commit to at least one, right? I know you put quite a few in there. Pick at least one and really make that a top priority for next week, right? It's Thursday night. Next week will probably be the most. Fridays are sort of getting done at the end of the week. So I really want you guys to make sure that you're committing next week that you're going to do it. Awesome. I know. Oh my, Christine loves that, right? If you only had one, make up two more that maybe will be easier to do for next week, right? But pick one and truly let me know. Are you committed, right? Write it in the questions box. I love seeing you guys because I can't interact with you. I speak usually in front of people and I can ask questions and I can get feedback. And this is the only way I can get feedback. So yes, totally committed. Awesome. Okay. So David Heinmeier Hansen, who owns, started with 37 Signals. I asked him, do you ever have fear? Or do you sort of feel like you always know what you're doing, right? And he started talking about how much risk is too much risk. And I just want to educate you this on a little bit so you know when that danger zone is, right? He said, I need to feel like we're moving in the right direction and that we're taking or making bets with good odds. I hate making bets that I consider to have poor odds. And this is where I start to see the danger zone come in, right? He said, that's why I never gamble. Like, I know the house in Vegas has an edge over me. Why the hell would I participate in a game where I know that I'm outmatched when I sit down at the table? So I sit down at tables where I have great odds. That doesn't mean I'm guaranteed of success. Certainly not. That's what I want you guys to think about, right? Sit down where you've got good odds. So those comfort zone things that you just wrote down, assess those, right? Those definitely seemed good to me. I don't think any of them seemed like too much, but like risking your house to start a new venture, that's too much risk. That's going to make you go crazy. Just so you know, I know I've talked to people like that before. It makes you a little bit crazy. All right. So now we're going to get into the tips and tricks, right? A little bit of magic here. There's a number of tools that you can use. I'm going to go over quite a few of them right now and don't feel overwhelmed, right? I'm going to go over, I think, four or five of them. I give you this list and at the end, I'll give you the whole list so you can find the ideal one for you because not every single one of these are really going to fit for what you're doing. This is sort of what I do on every webinar, right? I want you to commit to something. So you walk away knowing that this, you know, this is the action I'm going to take next week and this is how I'm going to deal with the fear that comes up based on that action. So go ahead and pay attention to these next few tips. And then at the very end, I'm going to do a poll. So make sure you're paying attention and you're going to be able to put which one that you want to use the next time you have fear come up. So the very first one, as you can see, I love that guy's face, which is why I put it up there again. It's really funny. So it's being okay with a sensation of fear. What does it feel like? So right now, if you're doing something, stop. Right? Unless you're writing something very important. I want you to really think about it and bring up something that scares you. Okay. If it's public speaking, imagine you're waiting in the wings, ready to be introduced, and there's 200 people sitting there waiting for you. They're going to judge your appearance as soon as you walk on stage. You might forget everything that you need to say, all sorts of crazy stuff. Really try and visualize being there. Or doing that thing that's really, really difficult for you. And I'm going to give you a second to really bring it up. Are you sweating yet? You'll start to notice the sensations of fear, right? Your heart starts to pound maybe a little bit faster, right? Maybe you start to sweat a little bit. Maybe you feel a little queasy in your stomach. There's all sorts of feelings, real physical feelings that are that sensation of fear. And what actually a lot of like therapists and stuff will have you go through this to be okay with the sensation of fear, right? In that documentary, which was great, it was perfect for prepping for this, right? There was a therapist who actually had a woman who is deathly afraid of flying run around the room. And so her heart started pounding faster. And then he had her sit down and really feel what that felt like. And why, when her heart starts pounding faster, why does that start to invoke fear for her? So they did a bunch of other techniques to be able to start bringing up those other things. But just realize, because we can't go into all of that right now, I can't see where you guys are, but just realize that they're just sensations, right? There was a quote in that documentary that said, the more you don't want the emotional state, the more it comes up. So when you bring it to the surface, it goes away faster. So don't push it down. Don't try and get rid of it as soon as you can. You know, don't try and just be like, oh, I'm fine, it's great. You know, really be okay with the sensations of fear because it'll disappear much quicker. Okay, so that's number one, one tip or tool that you can do. The next one is called reappraisal. And this is really interesting because it's really about visualizing whatever that is as a neutral third party. And I like to do it this way. So you guys can do it this way too. Pretend you're a millionaire and change the way you think about it. So think of that same thing that we just brought up a minute ago. Okay. Now you're a millionaire. How would you deal with that situation? Right? Your mindset is way bigger. Your comfort zone is way bigger. Does it change the way you feel? Okay, so if you're going to commit to doing something like this, when that fear comes up, or even before you go ahead and step out, whether it's public speaking or whatever it is, take a good 10 minutes to try and change the way you think. Okay, so really visualize. It's funny what visualization does. You know, it's scientifically proven that visualization makes a difference. So really bring it up and take the steps that you would take as if you were a millionaire, because that will change the way you think, which is really fun and interesting. I do it quite a bit. I ask, you know, what would Chris do, my millionaire mentor, or what would someone else do if I had the mind of, you know, an amazing millionaire? Because I have fears too, just like you guys do. How would I do this? How would I get past it? Okay, so that's number two. The next is to commit way in advance. Right? Let's say you want to grow your business and you know that public speaking or cold calling or whatever it is will help. And most people and many clients of mine, I can say, come up with a million excuses not to head down that route, right? Don't let the excuses stop you. So in order to do that, make the commitment far enough away that you don't need to sweat about it right now, right? This technique starts to help your brain, which is full of excuses, know that it's not in any immediate danger. But it still allows you to get things done that you want to do. It allows you to take that first step without feeling that fear. And then once you've committed to it, say it's public speaking. I'm speaking in New York City in Blog World. And I'm like, oh, it seemed so far away. And now it's starting to come up. So now I'm starting to realize. So I start to prepare as much as I possibly can. But it's not this immediate craziness, right? Okay, so if it is you, if it's speaking gigs, book a gig in 4 months. Right? If it's a networking event that you're really going to go hardcore and create a specific goal to talk to at least, you know, 10 or 15 people, or to get at least one or two sales appointments from that, book it in advance. Book it a month out. Don't worry about it right now. Okay. So mark a date to do that item in your life or business that you're scared about. Okay. So if you commit to that one, I want you to do it tonight because you're going to forget about it later and I don't want you to forget about it. All right, so the next one is worst case scenario. It's a tactic I've used. It's where you write down the worst things that could go wrong and you figure out sort of how probable that might be. And usually it's like less than 1% and only if, you know, 17 other things go wrong first, right? But then what you do is you work out solutions to those problems. So it'll help you ease your mind. It's logical. It's the best you can kind of do logically wise. So just know it's really, you know, doing it the right way, making sure that you accept the fear and do it anyway, right? I know I will still be living after this. You know, what's the worst that could happen? All right, the next one I'm actually going to see if I can. The next one's about putting things in perspective. Okay, so I want to actually show you guys if I can. There's something called Scale of the Universe. I wasn't there right now because it creates this lovely little music in the background. But so this is really cool for me for putting things in perspective, right? I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but if you go to Scale of the Universe or scaleofuniverse.com, okay, that's a human. Can you guys see this? Go ahead and post if you can see it. All right, cool. So that's how big a human is, right? Which is funny because then there's this huge worm, right? Giant earthworm. I didn't even know those existed. Good to know. So one of the funny things, though, is that's the human, right? Watch how small we really are. Mount Everest. Pluto. Mercury. Venus. This is our solar system. The sun. Look how small the sun gets. Now imagine how small are you right now? How ridiculously small are you? Because our sun is huge. Right? So, and look how much I have left. I'll have to go faster. We're going to run out of time. Right? And this talks about what's the observable universe versus the unobservable universe. Crazy stuff, isn't it? Okay, so putting things in perspective. We are so small. It is ridiculous. So your fear is even smaller than that, right? So please know that no matter what happens in the scope of the universe, I'm a big, you know, astrophysics geek. So in the scope of the universe, none of this matters, okay? Which is sometimes a good thing, but really good to get your fears in perspective. So I'm going to go ahead and poll you. Go ahead and take a look at these. The sensations of fear, reappraisal, committing in advance, worst case scenario, and perspective. So let me pull this up. I'll start to poll you guys. It'll pop up in just a second. All right. Hopefully you guys see the poll. Okay. Go ahead and start answering the questions. What are you going to do? Next time you have that fear, what are you going to do? Okay. And committing means you have to remember. Say something's fearful and you don't remember. Try like mad to remember this. You're committing to it. Okay. All right. We're going to give it one more minute or probably a little less than that because we're running a little bit short on time. I always run over, no matter how much I test and have it run short. I like to talk to you guys. All right. Wow, we're even between three of them. Oh, no. We're jumping up. So being okay with a sensation of fear, 26%. 26% wants to do a worst case scenario. 23% is going to put it in perspective. And then the other two are the others. Awesome. All right, we're going to stop the poll. Thank you guys very much. Make sure that it's not just about just clicking and saying, I'm going to do that. You're actually going to do it, okay? Okay, but really to sum it all up, I love this. This is from the top five regrets of the dying, an article on the Huffington Post. And it says, I wish I'd have the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Right? It says, this was the most common regret of all. When people realize that their life is almost over and look back clearly on it, it's easy to see how many dreams have gone unfulfilled. Most people had not even honored half of their dreams and had to die knowing that it was due to the choices they made or not made. It's very important to try and honor at least some of your dreams along the way. From the moment that you lose your health, it is too late. Health brings freedom very few realize until they no longer have it. Okay, that's kind of a sad way to end, right? Totally scary. But you're fine now, let me say. You're alive. You're healthy. Okay, this is where you make that decision to not let the fear stop you. So that way, when you are in that position and looking back on your life, it's not what I didn't do. It's not what I could have done. It's being okay with what you did, even if that's failing. Okay, so I really want you guys to commit and start taking some actions today. Okay, so I hope you really enjoyed and started to gain some inspiration and action so far. I would love to have you go further, right? talking to Christine and knowing what she did from a free webinar, imagine what you can do when you start taking the next step. So this is sort of the next step that I want to tell you about. I was actually told that I had the perfect combination of inspiration and action when I create programs. And I think that is huge. That sort of, I'm honored by that anyway. And I'm really glad that it makes it out there, that people notice that stuff. So that's what I tried to do in the Eventual Millionaire Academy. You may have already heard about it. You may not have. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it right now. So I know, you know, if you get a lot of value out of these webinars, and have you guys gotten a lot of value so far tonight? I mean, I usually get emails. Go ahead and post in the question box too. I always have to say that, right? I usually go ahead and get tons of emails after these webinars going, oh my gosh, thank you so much, you know? And I love that. That's why I'm doing it. If you buy the Academy or if you don't buy the Academy, that's okay. I want you to get something out of it, right? And if you're not ready for that next step, that's okay. Yay, everybody's coming. Tons of value. Fantastic. Yes, yes, yes. Best one yet. Good stuff. Ooh, best one yet. I love that. You made me think of really important things. Fantastic. Yes. Okay. Beautiful. So I'm really glad that I can deliver for you. I love this. You have no idea. I seriously love doing this. The reason why I created the Academy is to give a week by week program to help you and create that continuous forward motion. Right. And I don't know if you listened to that webinar, but there was a webinar all about the top traits of millionaires. And one of it was continuous forward motion. So whatever we need to do to keep moving forward incrementally is really, really important. Okay. So I'm just going to go through the modules and what it is, because you guys, some of you don't have a clue what this is actually. Okay. So part one of the Academy, there's three parts. There's 16 skill sets. So it's a 4-month course. It's a long course. But little bits at a time, because I don't want to overwhelm you. You guys only have so much time. I know, right? So each skill set has a specific millionaire interview to listen to, a skill set video with audio and transcript, and an action worksheet. And the videos are pretty short. They're like 20 minutes or even a little bit less to get you to get a bunch of knowledge and then go take action on it, right? That's sort of my sequence. Okay, so these are sort of the information on what the skill sets are, and I'll go over them briefly for what we have time for now. So the first one is skill set number one, okay? How millionaires set themselves up for success. This is all about organization and what four core systems are critical to use, how even the smallest issue in your business and life can affect your work and how to get rid of them. Those are called tolerations. And we talk a lot about what tolerations are and how they zap your energy in it, and how millionaires organize their thoughts, ideas, emails, and workday for maximum effectiveness. I wanted to know this information, so I started asking the millionaires about it, and then I put it in skill set number one to sort of get you started. Oh, and thank you. Listening from Japan. I just spoke to someone from Japan last week. I was so impressed. You guys are awesome. Okay. I'm not generalizing. My eventual millionaires in Japan are awesome. Okay. Skill set number two, right? Your compelling reason why. A lot of times we skip this, right? Most people don't do this part because, you know, I know why I'm doing it. But we need a solid reason why. So that way, if those times get tough, you know, you can keep moving forward. So it talks about, you know, why millionaires need more than just money to be rich, the secrets of leaving a legacy, finding your own top four values in life and business. It's really interesting. There's a whole worksheet on trying to figure out what your top values are and what you really care about. That helps to figure out what you want in the future. Okay. Skill set number three is visioning, right? Vision of the future. This is what we were talking about today. It's kind of funny. Why visioning is a critical step. And examples of several millionaires' visions so you can create your own. And of course, in that module, in that skill set, we'll be creating a million-dollar vision and what you really see in the future. Because like I said, scientific, I don't know how many millionaires. I know Adrian Cartwood is who you listen to during that one. He talks about visioning so much and where he came from. Anyway, I can't get into all that right now. But yeah, it's pretty cool. So skill set number four, how millionaires set goals. This I was really curious about. Why focus is so important when setting goals and how to set short-term mini and micro goals. And then put your goals through, I call it the exclusive, right? Covenant framework. Most of the time people talk about SMART goals. I don't know if you guys have heard about SMART goals before, but it's sort of a framework to put your goal through to make sure that it's measurable and specific and that sort of thing. Well, I've created my really cool covenant framework. which goes into way more depth and talks about not only the goal, but after the goal too, which is really interesting. And then creating your key goals with KPIs, which are key performance indicators. Great businesses have numbers, right? And it talks all about how to set those goals and what key performance indicators would be really important for your business. Not overwhelming you, because I'm really about trying to make it simple, but we do what we can do. Okay, and the next is action plan creation number 5, how to figure out those next steps, how to delegate within your action plan, and you actually end up creating your own 3-month action plan in that. I do this with my clients. You guys know there's some people in the academy here who I've had bonus coaching sessions with, and they know this is what I do. I love action plans. It starts to push us. It starts to really make us create what these next 3 months are going to look like. So that's exciting. This is exactly for you, right? How to handle fear and failure. This is actually quite a bit different. There's some pieces of this that are a little bit different than what we've gone through tonight. But why many millionaires are scared daily and how they look at it and get past their fear. Real stories of millionaires with fear, right? The secret of how to get past your fear and push forward. Now, hopefully you've got some of this already tonight, at least enough so that way you can start moving forward. Okay, the next is support with mentor and masterminds. Mentors have been huge for me. You guys have probably heard this 1,000 times from me. Mentors are huge. My mastermind group has been huge. It talks about, you know, how critical it is, how to find a mentor, how to create a mastermind group, and really deal with that stuff on your own. And yes, we can rewatch the webinar later. Questions as we come along. There will be questions at the end too, definitely. So skill set 8 is how millionaires approach selling. Right? This is crazy because I used to work for Kirby when I was younger. I hated it. It's a vacuum cleaner sales company. I hated sales so much. And my mindset changed like crazy. You know, I love sales now. My mentor helped me with this. But this also talks about how millionaires actually approach selling and specific principles that business owners need to know, right? Like what dollarization is and why is that going to help you in your selling? And why scripts are important. Usually, you know, people like to wing it. You know, I get it. I know what I'm doing. I use scripts too, especially when I was first starting. So really trying to get this stuff ingrained and not to have that icky, oh my gosh, it's sales feeling, right? Because I know some people have that and this is going to help you with that. Okay. Skill set 9. I know there's so many skill sets. It's crazy. Okay. Your relationships matter. How millionaires nurture their business, the best way to network on social media from Amy Applebaum, an amazing millionaire, how one millionaire's business exploded after just one networking event. Okay, this is all about relationships. And I can completely say that relationships have changed my stuff. I ended up talking this week with someone who was absolutely amazing, podcast with huge subscriber numbers. He's friends with Dan Miller, who's an amazing author, crazy, huge people. And it's just sort of neat to see that it works for everybody too. You know, relationships really do matter. Okay, number 10, current marketing skills. You know, the best way to use newspaper advertising and actual advertising. And wow, it's close on time. So I'm going to see how fast I can speak, right? How one millionaire landed 2 clients on Oprah, how to get free press. You guys know I've been in the press like crazy. My talk at Blog World is all about how to get press. So hopefully you guys will get that a little bit later back in June or July. Skill set 11, refreshing your action plan, because it's important to create your action plan, work it, and then it will change as you go, definitely. Personal finance methods, yes. I know we sort of don't talk about this as much as I used to, but it's still huge, right? You only can become a millionaire if you save enough to become a millionaire. It's not about, you know, making a ton of money and spending it all. So this sort of talks about how they actually deal with their finances and a bunch of action sheets that will help you too. Business models that work. All sort of the innards, right? Cash flow, business models. Find out if your business model can really be a $1 million business. And it's okay if it's not. Right? That's totally fine. Okay. But it's, you know, we don't necessarily all need to be millionaires within the next year. In order to be retire, okay, I have to have at least $3 million in a net worth, right? In a retirement account. Isn't that crazy? And that's only at $50,000 a year. I mean, that's a good living. Okay. So, and there's a bunch of questions still going, which I'm definitely going to answer at the end. Let me get through all this. And if you guys don't mind staying, it's awesome. So skill set 14 is all about giving wealth and helping others, you know, how to help others now and not necessarily wait till you have more time and money, that sort of stuff. Creating the best life, which is all about, you know, juggling work and family. These millionaires aren't just, you know, living on a yacht. They're business owners that are working very hard. And they talk a lot about how they balance life and work and how to really enjoy your present in this crazy, crazy world. And then 16 is everything that didn't fit in there. Frequently asked questions. Okay. So there's a couple other parts of the academy. There's the resource section, which has all of the recommended books by millionaires, along with the top book recommended by millionaires, the tools recommended, and plus the list of my book recommendations and tools, my personal mastermind group, who does have some millionaires in it, but some really, really cool tips and tools for that too. And then we also do a millionaire Q&A, which is a live call with a millionaire where you can ask questions. We just had ours a couple weeks ago. You'll have access to the previously recorded sessions too. We did it with Todd Tresseter last time. We had a lot of really awesome questions. I know Abigail, who's right there, was on the line with us there. She's not a member of the Academy yet, but she was on the line because she bought that membership, which was really cool. And it includes all the previous webinars and all that fun stuff too that you have in there. Okay, and of course, I always offer a money back guarantee. I don't want you to not be happy. I want you to be extremely happy. That being said, if you think you're going to use the 30-day money back guarantee before you buy it, just don't buy it. You know, if you're sort of going, well, I'll try it and see, you know, it's not about that. I really need you to be committed before you buy it. But if it doesn't, you know, do something that you really needed it to do, or if something in there isn't something up to your expectations, that's fine. I know the people that are in it have been blown away by it. I have crazy testimonials. We don't have enough time to deal with the testimonials right now. Definitely, but there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. And you get a bonus, right? I don't know if I asked Bud to use his picture, to use that picture from his daughter. But yeah, these are Eventual Millionaire t-shirts. And I've got a ton of these. These are three that I pulled up, right? It's cool having pictures of yourself. Okay. So you will get an Eventual Millionaire t-shirt. And I think what's so funny is everybody's been having questions, like someone will actually come up to them in Starbucks and go, oh, what is that? And I have people doing that to me too, which is kind of funny. And Melody, who's in the middle, says, I want Eventual Millionaire pajamas in pink. She goes, people keep asking me, what's that? And I told them the message behind it and they were stoked. She said she's glad to be a part of it. She's awesome too. She's a member of the Academy. So I know I get through all this marketing stuff, right? Okay. And these are navy shirts. I know they kind of look like all different colors. The middle one's probably the best one, right? And now I know only women have shirts. No, tons of men did, but none of the men wanted to take photos. So if you're a guy on this and you're going to get a t-shirt, make sure you take a picture. I even have three-year-olds, right? My daughter has one, but I even shipped one out to a three-year-old for a small one. So, oh yeah, I love my Eventual Millionaire t-shirts. And there's women's sizes and men's sizes too. So just so you know, these are the women's sizes. All right. So by now you're probably going, okay, how much is it, right? That's what everybody does at this point. So I like to say, well, Ryan Blair charges $1,000 a minute. I don't know if you've listened to his interview yet. He's the CEO of Visalis. You should listen to it because he seriously charges $1,000 a minute. And it was a 45-minute interview. So that one's free. Go ahead and listen to that, definitely. But it's a ton of value. And I was told this week by two different very successful people that I need to charge at least $400. And I'm like, okay, I get that. I understand. That makes sense. I know it's worth more than I'm charging for it. But I really, really want you guys to get it. We're Eventual Millionaires, right? We want to be able to save some too. So it's down to the price at $147, which is sort of my launch site. Go ahead and go to eventualmillionaireacademy.com/join. And then you can click on the Get Instant Access button. It's right there at the top, right next to my video. This offer ends in an hour, actually in less than an hour because we're running late. So the reason why it ends in an hour is so I can go to bed, number one, because it's 11 o'clock, you know, it'll be 11 o'clock here. But also tomorrow it'll go up. It'll be 167 tomorrow. So if it takes you a little while to do that, it will be 167. Then it goes back up to the normal regular price later. Okay. So I promised you guys the bonus offer, right? Thanks for staying all the way through. A ton of you have. Awesome. Wow, most of you. The free bonus offer is at eventualmillionaireacademy.com/fear. And it's a fear worksheet that sort of goes into what we were talking about today. And it asks you specific steps to work through and gives you little boxes. So that way you can definitely work through them. Okay. All right. But I'll show you as soon as I'm done with this. Bud's daughter was one of the pictures and she wants to see it. So I'll definitely show it to you after. All right. So actually now is the Q&A section, question and answers. So I've got a bunch of question and answers already from going back up. Okay, so let's sort of see. What's our time commitment for this program? That is an excellent question. I always pay attention to time. So like I said, the video is probably about 20 minutes. The action worksheet will probably take you, depending on what it is, because it depends on each different skill set, probably at least 20 to 30 minutes a week. Okay. And then from there, you have the millionaire interview, which is probably about 45 minutes or an hour. So I know we're running late, so I understand completely if you guys have to hop on off, but I do want to make sure I stay a little bit later to answer the questions. So that's sort of the time commitment for every week. I want you to take, 2 hours is kind of a lot and kind of not a lot, right? You're changing what you're doing. I don't want you to create tons of it. I want it to save you time too. So it's only the distilled information that you need. Okay. Are there any live sessions I need to be available for? The millionaire Q&A will be live, but it's also recorded. So you can email me your questions ahead of time, and then I will ask the millionaire there. It won't be as, you won't be able to get the follow-up as if you were on live, but it's all recorded. Okay? Okay. So let's keep going back through. It's also not what they say drip fed, right? It's not, you don't have to wait for the next week. You get all 16 skill sets available all at once, which I love. I like courses that somewhat do that. I like to have it all at one time, especially like I have clients who are members of the academy too, and I can point them in the right direction and say, okay, skip this and go to the sales part because right now you're working on sales. So really being able to skip around, I think is hugely important. I think it should go from the beginning to the end, but if you're dealing with, networking, because that's where you're stepping out of your comfort zone, go ahead and listen to the relationship section. Definitely. Okay. Thank you for providing the pre-webinar. It's been wonderful. Excellent. Okay. So let me go back through. What's a business model? What's a business plan? Definitely feel free to shoot me an email or actually Wikipedia it, right? It'll sort of explain everything there too. Okay. What's the difference between a mentor and a coach? This is awesome. A great question. I have both. Actually, I have a mastermind, a coach, and a mentor. A mentor to me is someone who's more strategic. So they don't talk to you every week or every other week. You really just check in with them on the big strategies. So it's someone that has been where you are before, right? Someone that already knows where you've been and can give you a strategic plan. Right. A coach is someone who's really there with you, slogging it out, going, okay, this week, do this, keep moving forward. You're doing awesome. And really working on your goals and setting that up. You don't really want to do that with your mentor. Your mentor's busy and really important, right? That's what you want for a mentor, someone who's really awesome. So you can't reach to them and go, oh no, I'm having a bad day. It's not about that. Mentors are a little higher level as far as that goes. I think both are extremely important. I need someone to go, oh man, today was rough. And I need another one to sort of go, okay, this is the main way of going. And don't get me wrong, my coach does that somewhat to me too, but my coach is not online and doesn't know a ton about online. So I use my mentor for that. All right, let's see. Yes, we can rewatch the webinar. All right, we've got a lot of questions. Ted, feel free to shoot me an email with more of those. I know we don't have a ton. He's talking about fearful that his prospects are not responding to my marketing and messages. Does anyone really care? That's a good question. One of the first things I would say is ask them, right? No, if you know someone that you sent out your material to, do whatever you can to get them on the phone and ask them, because it might just be that they're not responding for some reason of that marketing. Don't be fearful about whether or not it's there. There are people out there that do care. And I know your business, Ted. So there are people out there that definitely care. Okay. And so it's not that fear is an irrational fear that you can get over. All right. Where do we buy the t-shirts? I just had my VA put them on my site. They weren't even on my site. It was sort of exclusive to my list. But if you go to eventualmillionaire.com and click on the store button, you will see some really cool, you know, PayPal buttons. So you can go ahead and sign up and just tell me what size and tell me if you're a male or female. So that way I know which one to send you. All right. So let's see if there's any others. I know, Bud, you know what, Bud, I'll show you the, cause your daughter's probably in there right now, right? Okay. Oh, and we've got new members joining. You can see my phone buzzing. There we go. There you go. Bud's all set. Thanks, John, for signing up. That's awesome. All right. Let's see though. All right. I want to make sure I answer all your questions. If you guys, like I said, have to jump off, that makes sense. All right. When are the live sessions, day, evening, weekend? So far, I've been doing them in the evening at night. It's really going to depend on the millionaire's availability. So last time it was my friend Todd. I talked to him all the time. He was really cool about putting it at, I think it was like 8 or 9 o'clock at night Eastern time. So that was great. You guys can let me know too what times work best for you. Maybe I should do a survey to everyone in the academy so they can let me know too. Okay. Where do you order the program? Yes, which I totally stopped the link. Hopefully, Bud, hopefully she saw it. Okay. If you go to eventualmillionaireacademy.com/join, that's where you get the deal. Bud, she says, thanks. Excellent. Great, Abigail. Oh, Brian can't open the worksheet. I can email it to you. I have Brian's email address. He was awesome. He sent me really, really cool email about stepping out of his comfort zone earlier today too. Great webinar. Thank you. All right. I think we're all set for tonight. I'm going through and trying to find other questions that I know there's some probably that got lost in the big array of amazing things. So thank you guys so much for coming. I really, really appreciate it. You know how much I love actually talking to you, right? Bud said your future client says she loves the picture. It's Bud's daughter in the picture, which is really cool. Awesome. Always really appreciate your content. Thanks for keeping the bar high. Awesome, Steven. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for answering all my questions. Awesome. Yes, I've known Michael for a long time, so I'm really glad you could show up, Michael. Really, really cool. Awesome. Like I said, thank you guys so much. If you need anything, definitely let me know. I'll be trying to send out the recording. We are recording. I'll definitely send out the recording later. And feel free to share it. If you know of anyone, definitely let me know and send it to them or, you know, do whatever you can. I really want to make sure that people are getting this information because I get emails all the time about this stuff. So if you guys can spread it, right? My mentor, you'll know in the, on what time? Monday is when my millionaire interview comes out with Chris. When it comes out, he sort of was like, you need to do more referrals. So, you know, go have fun, share the content. If you think of anyone that can use it, definitely, definitely put it out there. I think this is really important stuff that most people need to hear. So thank you guys again. I hope you have an absolutely wonderful night. Take care.